But when she hath brought forth the child, she remembereth no more the anguish. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. We have for ourselves today, at the beginning of this Mass, of course, the beautiful little ceremony of the May crowning of the statue of Our Lady. It is something that every year we do in the month of May, every year coinciding it with the celebration of Mother's Day. And it makes us always, of course, brings joy to our hearts when we watch the ceremony take place and the little children coming forth in their procession. However, it also makes us perhaps wonder exactly where does this tradition come from and why do we have it? As so much of the history and its traditions of the Church, they don't just appear out of nowhere, and they don't come up for without reason. And the May crowning is no different, even though it is merely a custom and a ceremony outside of the liturgy itself. So, let's start with where does the custom of crowning Our Lady come from? A little Marian procession. Well, the very start of it all is at the first Marian procession, which was held in Rome. In 590, the image of Our Lady and Child, which was painted by St. Luke himself and discovered in Jerusalem by St. Helena, was transferred to the city of Rome. When St. Helena had found the image, she had brought it to Constantinople to be placed in the place of honor where her son was ruling. And now, in 590, they decided to move it to the center of Christendom itself, Rome. And so it came in this glorious arrival upon a floral boat, and there at the river bank, St. Gregory the Great greeted the image and took it reverently, and brought it into the city of Rome, placing it in the place of honor in the Basilica of St. Mary Major. 3 years later, he would remember this holy image coming and its importance, because at that time they found that the people of Rome were in true desperation. A plague had broken out, and people were dying all over the place. It was a great scourge upon them. And so Gregory the Great, he knew of only one solution to this end. It is that they, all as a people, must invoke heaven in order to be saved. And so they went forth and they began to do penance. And St. Gregory the Great organized a grand procession. It is the origins also of our Rogation Day processions, in which the Litany of the Saints are chanted. St. Gregory organized all of the people of Rome. Anybody who could physically come into the procession was ordered to do so, and they obeyed, and all arrived, and they began to process, chanting the litanies as they went about the city in procession, going from St. Mary Major all the way to Castel Sant'Angelo, the time before it had that name, simply being the tomb of Hadrian. And as they went about their procession, the plague continued to ravage, but the faithful continued on. In fact, it is said somewhere about 86 people died in the procession from the plague. However, they continued to pray, and St. Gregory the Great, for his part, as they were processing and chanting the litany, he was carrying in his arms the image painted by St. Luke of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And this he brought with him until finally he had the miraculous apparition of St. Michael standing upon Hadrian's tomb and taking his sword and sliding it back into the sheath upon his hip, knowing right then and there that that was the final deliverance from that plague, and it would all come to an end. And his faith in this was perfect. He knew Our Lady had been the chief intercessor for that end, and that they had been delivered as soon as he saw St. Michael sheath his sword. And so once they had arrived there at that spot, they stopped the procession, And they began a hymn of praise and thanksgiving for Our Lady delivering them. This hymn, of course, was the Regina Caeli, which they chanted to their queen. The image, because of the plague, them being delivered from the plague, became known as the Salus Populi Romani, that is, Our Lady under the title of Protectress of the Roman people. And it was truly the first Marian procession, and they sing to their queen in thanksgiving. This image also will play a very important role later on in another saintly pope's life, St. Pius V. We know that it was that the soldiers of Christendom were greatly outnumbered against the invading Turks at the Battle of Lepanto. And the part of the story we always remember is that St. Pius V, that is, ordered all of the Christians of Rome again to pray the rosary and ask Our Lady in order to be victorious on something that seemed, from its all natural appearances, impossible. And but what is oftentimes overlooked in that story is the fact of where St. Pius V went to pray his own rosary. He went to the image of Our Lady as Salus Populi Romani in St. Mary Major, and knelt before her and prayed again that his people be delivered. And it is through that rosary that Our Lady did just that and delivered the people of Christendom and caused them to be victorious. Throughout history, important images of Our Lady, including this very image, the image of Our Lady, protectress of the Roman people, they were given golden crowns by popes that were placed upon and affixed to the sacred images in order to crown her, recognizing her as Queen of Heaven and Earth. This tradition, while starting in Rome, began to spread throughout all of Christendom. Soon, bishops in their own dioceses would find the important images and have them too crowned. An entire separate cabinet was set up in Rome for the collecting and distributing of funds for these coronations of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And it especially took hold as extremely important and very popular to be done in combating the Protestant Reformation, after it came the Catholics turning again to Our Lady to find themselves delivered from that scourge and to be victorious in conquering that great evil which plagued Christendom. It wasn't, though, until the 1700s, the latter part of the 1700s, that we finally find ourselves arriving at May being dedicated to Our Lady, and a time in which these coronations would take place. It all initiated with an Italian Jesuit priest named Father Latomia, and he dedicated May to Our Lady because of the presence of so many feasts to Our Lady during that month, and that it was a time of spiritually rejoicing because it was after Lent and oftentimes in the time of Eastertide. And so he saw around him, being a Jesuit and being connected to universities that were there in Italy at the time, he began to see the difficulties that the young people especially were counteracting, and all of society as a whole. It is that there was a great plague of faithlessness that was taking hold, and immorality which was influencing the people all throughout Italy. And so he began, in the month of May, causing the people that he was entrusted with to invoke Our Lady against these things, and to begin ceremonies of crowning images of Our Lady to honor her as that heavenly queen and patron in order to protect and guide the people through these difficulties. This was finally, ultimately, given great approval by first and foremost Pius VII when he granted the first indulgences in the way of encouragement along this way. And so we also see with these examples of the development of Our Lady's time in May and her crowning and processions, we understand from them the why. The why to honor her as queen and invoke her against all which attacks the church and the faithful. We've seen her invoked against plague. We've seen it in the protection and deliverance from invasion of infidels. And again, against the threats of faith and morals. She really is that Salus Populi, the protectress of the people. And it is for this reason that we crown her and invoke her in the month of May. It is also the reason in which we honor mothers with Mother's Day today. We are mistaken if we hold to the point of thinking that we honor women for having given birth. This is such a common and low opinion of these women. It is merely biological. It is actually the very reason why Protestants do not honor Our Lady, because this is what they have reduced her to, simply a flesh donor to the God-man. But we know this could not be further from the truth. She is truly mother. She is truly the example of virtue. She is that chief intercessor and protectress, and the one whom Christ himself in his youth relied upon and the church has turned to for over 2,000 years. And it is your role as mothers as well. You are meant to be imitators of the Blessed Virgin Mary. You are meant to follow in her footsteps, and you find the reasons for the crowning of the image of the Blessed Virgin Mary to be the point at which you find why we celebrate you on Mother's Day. You are meant to be the caregivers for your children. Those who look to their needs and find them in their struggles and see them in their difficulties and their sickness, and provide comfort to them and provide encouragement to them and to provide for all the needs that they may have for themselves in these times of difficulty. You see in Our Lady at Lepanto and find for yourself the inspiration to as well be protectress of those who are entrusted to you, to guard them against danger and harm, to lead them in ways in which they are safe, to turn and provide them and keep with them those who would be only of good influence in their lives. And you are most especially to imitate Our Lady in being that guardian of souls, to look, to guard and protect them against the immoralities and attacks upon which threaten their virtue and salvation, to teach them and instruct them in the ways of faith, and to guide them in the ways of piety, and to have them look to you to find the means to imitate virtue. You are meant to be their Salus, protectress. You are to be in that way, to the best of your ability and your vocation, their guardian and guide, and lead them not only to safety in life, but eternal peace in heaven. And it is in your endeavor to do this, it is to be found in your own heavenly mother the means to be successful. You find in her the example to follow. You find in her the graces to be obtained. And you find in her the strength for perseverance. And so, Our Lady, we invoke and turn to as our protectress. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.